Acts chapter number 1. Now, I mentioned earlier that it was June 3rd, 2001. We had our very first service. And, of course, at that time, our son, Caleb, was 5. And Brianna, who was over to my left, was 2. And Emma was not here yet. And the plan today was that Caleb and Abby, his wife, and our grandson Carson were supposed to be with us today. And but God had other plans, and we'll accept that. And so that was a long time ago. That particular Lord's Day, we were meeting over in the Cameron Recreation Center. And that's just behind the Loheed Mall, behind the Walmart there. And we met in the Maple Room. We met in the Maple Room for many, many years. Some of you came on Anniversary Sunday at one point along the line. I know the Cons came on Anniversary Sunday many, many years ago. They got a flyer in the mail and came, and they've been with us now for many, many years. Thank God for it. And I don't mean to start mentioning names, but I was just thinking about the first Sunday. Maybe others of you came on Anniversary Sunday as your first Sunday. I believe we had some of those that mentioned that this week. And we had 23 people in the service that day. And, of course, we had our family of 4. Then we had 3 other helpers that came over from a church in Surrey, Park City Baptist Church. So that means we had 16 people come outside of our family and those laborers that came and helped. And it was a blessing to have them, the Meisners. And at that time, it was Nicole Tilma. Now it's Nicole Chu. But she was our nursery worker for the first month, and the Meisners were helpers as well. He was our usher. And 16 people from the community came. And one of those was Carmen Sancho Davila. And she's still a part of Anchor Baptist Church, and we're grateful for her. And God is doing a great work. She's doing well. I got to see her last Sunday, and thankful for that. But the service lasted 45 minutes. Can you imagine that? That's everything. That's the singing. That's the preaching. That was the offering. That was the whole service. I've mentioned this many times. It's hard to believe that it only lasted 45 minutes, but I can tell you, I was there. I remember. I looked down at my watch. My knees were hurting so bad, they'd been knocking for 45 minutes. And I couldn't believe it. Only 45 minutes had gone by. I felt like it was 4.5 hours. And we lived out in Surrey at that time. And all the stuff that we brought fit in the back of our regular sized Dodge Caravan. It wasn't an extended caravan. It was just a regular sized caravan. Not this pulpit, but I have the pulpit in my shed at the house. That pulpit, or maybe it's in the trailer now. I don't remember where it's at. But and all of our stuff, the songbooks and everything, it just fit in the back of that little green van. And boy, I tell you what, much has changed, and to God be the glory. God has laid this thought on my heart today from the book of Acts, and that is the motivation to move forward. The motivation to move forward. Pastor Paul Chappell said, I believe that ultimately why we do what we do for the Lord is as important as what we do for Him. Why we do it. You know, why do we have a celebration of the anniversary? Why do we mail gospel tracts? Why do we move forward? Why do we seek God's will? Why do we continue? Why do we have a live stream service? Why not just, you know, do something else, or just, you know, why? And I'm thankful that there is a why. I'm thankful that God is worthy of it all. I'm thankful that Jesus Christ, our Savior, that's where we find hope. That's where we find strength. He's our anchor. Amen. The website all along has been anchored in Jesus.com. The theme of the church that I worked in for 1 year before we came here was anchored in Jesus. And I can't think of a better way to continue our our ministry, and I don't say our as in mine, I say our as a local congregation, the Lord's church, that we would remain anchored in Jesus. The Bible says in Proverbs 17 and verse 3, the fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. The Lord trieth the hearts. You know what that means? God knows our motives. He knows our motives. Oh, and I pray today that your motive and my motive is simply this, to bring glory to our Heavenly Father. I hope we're not trying to make a name for ourselves. I hope we're trying to make a name for the Lord. I hope we're not trying to do better than the church down the street that's preaching the gospel. Let's pray for the church down the street that's preaching the gospel. We're on the same team. And let's magnify the Lord. Let's lift Christ up and He will draw men to Himself. I'm convinced of many things, but I know this. The Lord Jesus is soon to return. Amen? There is no time. The Lord is soon returning. There is no time to lose. So, be a missionary, right? And I know the Lord is returning. Now, as we think about this text, though, we see that the Lord is ascending back to heaven. So from that time until now, do you know what we're doing? We're waiting for His return. We're waiting for Him to come back and take His bride home to heaven to be back with Him and begin all of the end times and all of that. And maybe we're in part of the end times now. I don't know. I just know this. God has it all under control. What would motivate these men to continue? Notice verse number 9. We're not quite in the outline yet, but notice it says, when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. There goes the Lord Jesus Christ. There goes the Lord Jesus. What would motivate the disciples to continue to move forward? Well, I'd like to now go through these verses of Scripture with the time that we have remaining, and we're going to go a little more than 45-minute service today. We're already at 30 minutes, okay? So I'm not going to be done in 15 minutes. We're going to go a little bit further than that, but we're thankful for what we have. Number one, let's look at this text. Number one, we see the motivation to faithfulness. The motivation to faithfulness. Verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. One last time, before Jesus returns to heaven, He's challenging them. Letter A, we see the Lord's ascension. The Lord's ascension. This is the resurrected body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the Bible says in verse number 9, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. Now there is some significance in this idea. What is happening here? They would have known this as well. All right, let's take a look at it. Hold your place in Acts chapter 1 and go back with me to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. We see the motivation to faithfulness. Number one, letter A, we see the Lord Jesus' ascension. He is in the resurrected body. What is the big deal about the cloud? Look at verse number 9. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended. All right? Jesus was taken up into a cloud, but here in the book of Exodus, Moses going into the tabernacle, a cloudy pillar comes down and stood at the door of the tabernacle. Notice, the Lord Jehovah, right here, capital L-O-R-D, all caps, the Lord talked with Moses. And so now as we go back to verse number 9, this idea of the cloud was a symbol of the Shekinah glory of God. What did it represent? It represented the presence of God. So in Exodus 33, in the tabernacle, the glory of God came down at the door of the tabernacle. The Lord came down. It represented the presence of God. Here we see Jesus going up into a cloud as he's ascending back to heaven. What does this tell us once again? It tells us that Jesus is God. Amen. I'm so thankful that we have that clear. John 1, I quoted that earlier. Look at John 1:14. Look at John 1:14 quickly. Some of you haven't memorized. John 1:14, the Bible says, "And we beheld his glory," excuse me, "and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us," the Word, capital W, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh. He became man. He was still God, but he was man at the same time. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the who? Father, full of grace and truth. And so Jesus Christ being taken up into a cloud once again lets us know, once again lets the disciples know, lets you and me know that the Lord Jesus is God. The apostles are standing on the Mount of Olives at this time. They're standing on the Mount of Olives. Now in Luke chapter 24, verse 50 and 51, we are told that this told something about the Mount of Olives. And I'm going to just flip back there and read it to you quickly. Luke 24, verse 50. "And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven." This is the corresponding text of Acts chapter 1. And of Acts chapter 1, where he's taken up. But I want you now to listen as I read Zechariah 14:4. I got ahead of myself a little bit. Zechariah 14:4. So a lot is happening. When you think of the Lord going back to heaven, don't just think, okay, he's gone back to heaven. Just be reminded of this. He's caught up in a cloud. What's the cloud a picture of? The Shekinah glory. It lets us know Jesus Christ is God. God in human form there. But the Bible says in Zechariah 14:4, "And his feet," Jesus Christ, "shall stand that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave thereof toward the east and toward the west." This is in reference to his return. What did the men in white say there? It said, "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go." That leads us to letter B, the angel's promise. The angel's promise. The prophecy of the Word of God cannot be overlooked. And all Scripture is given by interpretation of God, and it's profitable. No Scripture contradicts itself. God uses it all and puts it all together. I want you to be encouraged by this statement that the angels are giving to the disciples, their promise. The disciples were not being forsaken. Notice that. This same Jesus is going to come in like manner as ye have seen him go. In other words, I get the idea that they're staring up into heaven, gawking up into heaven, thinking about the miracles maybe, thinking about the crucifixion, thinking about the resurrected Lord, thinking about that meal that he prepared on the, remember that meal that he prepared on the shore and the fish, and maybe they're thinking about that, man, Jesus is a great cook as well, and all of this, and there he's going up into heaven. Where's he going? Why is he going? And the Bible says there, the angels promise that Jesus is coming again, and he's going to come in like manner as you have seen him go. The disciples were not being forsaken. We know that when Jesus Christ would ascend, in Acts chapter 2, he's going to send the Holy Spirit of God. And ladies and gentlemen, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ in 2020 and in onward, and as the Lord tarries, I don't know when he's coming, but I'm ready. I'm looking forward to that day. I want to encourage you. We will never be forsaken. We will never be abandoned by our God. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6 says, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." Hebrews 13 and verse number 5, "For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." Be encouraged, church, today. The Lord Jesus Christ has not abandoned us. He has not forsaken us. And know this, the same Lord Jesus will return as he left in like manner. The Bible said in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 7, "Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him." Number one, when we think about this motivation to move forward, number one, we see the motivation to faithfulness. Number two, we see members then and now. Members then and now. Look at verse number 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And I'm not going to reread verse 13, but there you have the list of the disciples. These men were specifically chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ. These men, not just these men, but these men were personal eyewitnesses who had seen the resurrected Lord. What does that mean for us today? Here's what it means for us today. If you have been saved by the Spirit of God, if you have been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb, if you have come to the realization that you are a sinner, that sin is going to be punished, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, Romans 5:12. What comes by sin? Death. Death by sin. So death passed upon all men. Sin brings death when it is finished, the Bible tells us. We recognize that without Jesus Christ, we are headed to a Christless eternity. And we hear the good old gospel message that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again the third day, and we can be born again of the Spirit of God. When did you get saved? When did you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Was it within the last year? Was it within the last 5 years or 10 years? Was it within the last month? Was it here at Anchor Baptist Church? Maybe you got saved at Anchor Baptist Church. Maybe you got assurance of your salvation. And then you, after getting saved, we follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Not part of salvation, but it's the first step of obedience. What I'm saying is this. The disciples were eyewitnesses of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, meaning they were witnesses of the power of God. You know what? I'm a witness of the power of God in 2020. You know what? If you're saved and on your way to heaven, you are a witness of the power of God. The disciples have nothing on us. We have seen the power of God. You know what? Your life has been radically transformed and changed if you're saved. Why? Because of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. I know that He is living. He lives within my heart. The disciples saw the resurrected Lord. They were chosen for a great task. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, today we need the power. We need the power of God in our life to walk the walk. And these men were about to be endued with the Spirit of God. We haven't got to that part yet in the book of Acts. We're on our way there. But today we need the power of God to walk the Christian life. We need the power of God to talk the Christian life. Talk is cheap. We need to talk and walk the Christian life. And we can, because why? Because we are witnesses. Acts 1:8. We're witnesses. Oh, we didn't see Jesus Christ visibly. Oh, but we've seen Jesus Christ. We've seen the works of God in our life. We've seen, hey, ladies and gentlemen, in the last 19 years, let me tell you something. By God's grace and for His glory, we have seen the mighty works of God at Anchor Baptist Church. We have seen the mighty works of God through the missionaries that we so lovingly want to support and continue to support. We have seen the mighty works of God, how He's provided money for this and money for that, and a building when we needed it, and a hotel room when we needed it to meet in one Sunday morning when we had nowhere to go. God has always provided. What is that? We are witnesses of that. You can't be saved long and not see God do something great in your life, which makes you a witness. What is a witness? Someone who testifies what they have seen. My friend, if you don't have anything to talk about for the glory of God, your eyes are closed. Or you're not even saved. Look, these men were chosen by God for a specific task, the beginning of the church. Wow! Something that is still alive today. The church, and you're part of it if you're saved. Anchor Baptist Church, we are part of this group right here. We believe, I know some of you, might hair lip you a little bit. We believe we can trace ourselves all the way back to the disciples. All the way back. I'll get you the Trail of Blood. If you have never read the Trail of Blood, in the Trail of Blood, there's a beautiful map in there that'll help you see. Yes, they weren't called Baptist, okay? Don't let anybody tell you that they were called Baptist in this day because of John the Baptist. No, that's not true. Okay? But the Baptist distinctives can be traced all the way back to the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't come. We didn't come. Hey, we are not, this is meddling, we are not Protestants. Smile. You can smile. It's too bad I don't have very many people to look. I have a few extra people to look at today, okay? You can smile. I think they all smiled. But what I'm saying is, no, we're not Protestants. No, we're born-again believers. And we go all the way back to Christ and his disciples. I believe that's where the church began, and it was empowered at Pentecost. That may not be your position. That's my position, and I'm thankful that it's a biblical position. You may have another biblical position. I don't mean to offend. I'm just saying this today. We are witnesses to the power of God. And be encouraged, church. Letter A, they gathered together. They gathered together. They were instructed to go to Jerusalem. Notice, if you will, in verse number 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went into an upper room together. We saw this last Sunday in verse 4 of this same chapter that they were instructed to go to Jerusalem, which is why they went to Jerusalem, because that's where Jesus told them to go. It's possible that this is the same upper room where they had the Lord's Supper. We don't know that for sure, but it's possible. God had given them specific instructions as how they were supposed to do and what they were supposed to do. The location was clearly laid out, and then they were supposed to wait for something to happen. We saw that last week. They followed the instructions of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say this. The work of the Lord Jesus Christ was only the beginning. Think, we know because we read the Bible. Remember, the disciples didn't have the Bible. They were about to live the Bible, the story, the history that we're reading today of the church. They were about to make history. That's what I meant to say. They were about to make history. Well, we have the account. In the Word of God, the work of Jesus Christ. When I say the work of Jesus Christ, I mean his earthly ministry. Obviously, the work of Jesus Christ continues. He is the one who empowers the church through his Spirit. I'm saying that the earthly ministry was only the beginning. Think of what these disciples had seen in the past, but think about what they are going to see and experience. Think about the fact that they're about to see thousands get saved at Pentecost. And there wasn't just one time that thousands were saved. Multiple times, thousands of people. Think about the miracles that they're going to be able to perform. God empowering them in the early ages of the church with miracle-working power, confirming the message that they were bringing, a message of a risen Savior. Think about all of this. Why did all of this happen? It goes back to the instructions they were given. And they followed the instructions. They went where Jesus said to go, and they waited for what Jesus said to wait for. Wouldn't that be great if we as God's children would follow his instructions all the time? Wouldn't it be great if we would just do what he tells us to do as long as he tells us to do it and have a spirit of willingness? The church, hey, by the way, the church still needs to gather together. Let's find every way possible to gather together. This was the beginning. They gathered together. And we still need to gather together. We still need to fellowship with one another. Why? We meet together to prepare for the life that we should live for the glory of God. I'm so glad we have the Word of God. We can read in our homes. But there's something about gathering together. Members then and now. Letter A, they gathered together. Letter B, I kind of got ahead of myself a little bit. Letter B, they waited obediently. They waited obediently. A Sabbath day's journey, that's about 3/4 of a mile. This was all they were allowed to walk on the Sabbath day. They were only allowed to walk such a distance on the Sabbath day. Now hang on a second. Can you imagine that? Now we know the Lord is the Lord of the Sabbath. I still believe that everyone should have a Sabbath. I believe that's biblical. That doesn't mean that we worship on Saturday. Please get that out of your mind for just a minute. That's not, it may still be the Sabbath day, and I believe it is. But that I'm saying everybody needs a day of rest. But we worship on the first day of the week. Very clearly is that laid out for us in the Word of God. Not for the message right now. But this was a distance a Jew was allowed to walk to the synagogue on the Sabbath day for worship. Think about all that, you know what, I'm going to try to say this as lovingly as I can, but think about all that we allow into our life on Sunday. Think about all that we do on Sunday. I think we need to be really careful about Sunday. Why? Because it's the Lord's Day. I think we need to guard Sunday as much as we possibly can. Put a hedge around Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. He deserves that. As Pentecost was approaching, they were waiting in the temple and the upper room for the power of God. Turn back to Luke 24. Let's just take another look at it. Let's see what Luke's gospel says. Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 53. We read from this moment ago, waiting obediently. Notice, and were continually in the temple. Notice that word continually. Continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Don't attempt to do the ministry of God without the power of God. We need the power of God. Do we expect the power of God? Do we long for the power of God? Here we see them waiting, gathering, waiting. Jesus told us, go to Jerusalem and wait there. They would wait there for 10 days. You know, I don't know about you, but we're pretty impatient, aren't we? But God has something for you. God has something for me. In 2020, let's keep gathering together. Let's keep waiting obediently. Members then, members now. Number three. Verse 14, we're going to talk about this waiting for the rest of the message. Number three is the method of waiting. Now, I've moved through that a little bit quicker today. But let's just slow it down now. Let's look at this, if you will, as we finish up the preaching. Look at verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Something very important was on the way. I don't know that they knew exactly what it was, but something very important was on the way and they were waiting. Have you ever waited for something to arrive at your home? Have you ever waited for a package to come? Have you ever waited for an important letter to come? Maybe your passport was in the mail and you needed it to take a trip. Well, whenever that was. Maybe you were waiting for, you know, that note from Mr. Wright. It came and the whole mailbox smelled of cologne. Anybody ever been waiting for a letter like that? Anyway, maybe you were waiting for mail. You know what? I'm as guilty as anybody. I think the kids know when I come home or when their mom comes home. I may be a little bit off on this, but I almost without fail, whenever I come home, no matter what time of the day it is, no matter if I've already checked it three or four times earlier that day, although that really hasn't happened, but I've checked it even if I've been home for a day or whatever, and come back, I always open that lid on the mailbox. Because I'm like that too. I'm just looking for some mail. Look, and you know what? You're not looking for mail. I'm not looking for mail for Brianna. I'm not looking for mail for Emma. I'm not looking for mail for my wife. I know that sounds selfish, but what you do the same thing. You don't go to your mailbox looking for mail for your cat or your dog or whoever. No, you go to mail because you want a letter. If there's any bills, you just leave them in there and let the next person pick them up, right? Of course, that's how it works. Amen? And so they're waiting, they're waiting, they're waiting. Notice letter A. The Bible talks about they continued, and I'm going to put the word steadfastness. They were waiting steadfast in steadfastness. In other words, the Bible says, these all continued. What is it God has for you to do today, 2020, Anchor Baptist Church, starting year number 20? I want to commission us today to be a church that continues. I want to commission us to be a church today that never gives up on what God has for us, that never questions Almighty God. We may wonder, we may say, God, what are you doing? But we know that what you're doing is for our good and it's for your glory. That never gives up on God. He is working. He is good. He is almighty. They're waiting. They're continuing. They're standing there. They're sitting there. They're praying. And then we're going to come to that. They're steadfast. God's power, by the way, God's power is worth waiting for. Wait for the power of God on your life. Wait for the will of God in your life. Wait for the perfect plan that God has. God's power is worth waiting for. God's blessings are worth waiting for. Oh, one of these days, God, if it's the will of God, and we pray that it is the will of God, one of these days, Anchor Baptist Church, we're going to have our own building. One of these days. If it's in this world, fine. But I know we're going to have a building in heaven. Praise the Lord. Not made with hands, but in the heavenlies. But I'm believing God for that. I'm trusting God for that. Blessings of God are worth waiting for. You know, when we started Anchor Baptist Church, it was one of the things that we started on day one, a building fund. Building fund. Why? Because we believed that in the future, God was going to give us a building of our own. Little did we know that for 15 and a half years we would set up and take down at the Cameron Recreation Center. Oh, and that stuff that I told you about earlier that fit in the back of the Dodge Caravan, we ended up getting a mini bus and everything went on the bus and we brought it over. I used to actually take everything over there on Saturday and set up on Saturday. We brought our stuff in there and set it up the night before and it was ready to go. I just actually thought about that, just remember that just right now on the fly. And then we ended up getting a trailer and then everything went in the trailer, and the bus pulled the trailer, and then the van would pull the trailer, and oh my goodness, some of you remember all those wonderful, wonderful times, amen? And really, what I would give to do that again, I really would. And I know many of you may not be with me on that, but I am. I'm ready to go do it again right now if God would give us a place to meet. I don't know that trailer if God would give us a place to meet. And all I'm saying is this, that's what we started that building fund for. You know what? 20 years later, or 19 years later, the building fund has grown. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Don't have a building yet, but that's okay. We're trusting the Lord. It's worth waiting for. Let's not get ahead of God. Let's continue. There is something that God has given us, and it isn't necessarily to focus on a building. They continued. What were they waiting on? They were waiting on the power of God. They were waiting on the presence of God to come. They didn't know exactly what it all meant. But they said, they knew. God said, go, wait. And so they were waiting steadfastly. Steadfastness. God's perfect will is worth waiting for. The blessings of God are worth waiting for. The power of God is worth waiting for. Letter B. The method of waiting, not only steadfastness, but the method of waiting was unity. Unity. Notice one accord. One accord. The Bible says there in verse 14. The importance of unity is seen both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Would you please go with me back to the book of 2 Chronicles? 2 Chronicles chapter number 5. Thank you for listening. 2 Chronicles chapter number 5. And let's look at verse number 13. 2 Chronicles 5 and verse number 13. And it came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as how many? One. To make one sound, to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. It was, they were one. They were together. You know, when you're singing in a special number or a choir, that's what you want. You want it to be one sound, together. All of the parts blending together as one. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praise the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. That then, notice that word, then. I've emphasized that in my notes. The house was filled with a cloud. There's that cloud again. Again, they were unified in the singing and in the music and in the instruments then. The house was filled with the cloud. What's the cloud represent? Presence of God. Shekinah glory. Don't lose that. Don't lose that. Oh, there's a lot of places today that are called a church that God is not even there. You know why? Because there's no unity. It was when they were as one that the cloud came down. Let's keep reading. Then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. They couldn't even continue. Why? Because the cloud, the glorious cloud of God, the Shekinah glory of the presence of God, filled the temple where they were. Why? Because the music, the singing, and the instruments, they were one, and God was being glorified. And what happened? God showed up. Oh, what do we need in 2020? We don't need fancier music. We just need Christ-honoring music. We don't need a fancier program. We need Christ-honoring program. You know what we need? We need to be as one, unified. Notice it says there, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Oh, church family, let me just encourage you today, when we're able to meet together again, we need to pray that the glory of God would fill the house of God. We need to pray that we would be unified as one. And I'm not talking about just in our singing and the piano playing, okay? I think that's a wonderful thing too. But I'm saying that we would be steadfast, continuing in one accord, moving ahead for the glory of God. Romans 15 and verse 5. Would you quickly go over to Romans 15 and verse 5? I love the beautiful picture that we've seen today. And it's really standing out to me even during the message of the cloud. I don't know about you, but God's just really speaking to me about that. We need God's presence, don't we? We need God's presence. And it was a tangible, visible form. Remember as the children of Israel wandered, there was the cloud and there was the fire, and that was the presence of God and leading them. Boy, look, it doesn't take long to figure out that we live in a world that is upside down. But I'm so thankful that we can have the presence of God in our life, and we can be steadfast, and we can continue, and we can be unified in one accord for the glory of God. Look at Romans 15 and verse 5, please. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be what? Like-minded. One toward another. According to Christ Jesus. That ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God. Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see that? One mouth, one mind, all glorifying the Lord. Anchor Baptist Church must seek to continue to be united around truth. What is it that unites us? It's the Word of God. The Word of God. What is it that unites us? It is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it that unites us? It is the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it that unites us? It is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it that unites us? It is the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it that unites us? It is that the church, the gates of hell, will not prevail against the church. What is it that unites us? It is that Jesus says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. God's word unites. We unite by God's word. Now, I will say this. God's word divides too. It divides, and we don't want the tares to come in and infiltrate. The Word of God is a divider as well, but I'm saying as a church family, we have been for 19 years and continue to be united around truth. If we gather with a common belief and a common cause, we will seek and find common unity. Let me say that again. If we gather with a common belief and a common cause, we will seek and find common unity. The method of waiting, steadfastness, they continue. The method of waiting, unity in one accord. The method of waiting, lastly. You see it there? Prayer and supplication. Prayer. Think about this for a minute. I was just meditating on this. What could they be praying for? The church was established. I personally believe that it started with Christ and his disciples, but Jesus is ascended now. There was 10 days between his ascension and Pentecost. We talked about that in recent days. It was the last Sunday, I think. It was actually Pentecost Sunday, the 50th day since Easter. And so it was 40 days that he walked the earth, 40 days. And then he ascended, and it was 10 days, and the Holy Spirit came. So for 10 days, there was prayer and supplication. There was what is supplication? Supplication is an asking, a seeking, an entreating. It's kind of like a ramped up prayer time, if you will. I began to think about this. What is it that they could have been praying for? You know what? I'm going to give you three things. It's not in the notes, but I'm going to give you three things. And you know what? Lord just laid these on my heart. And I've read this verse I don't know how many times in my life. And I've still got a lot to learn from the Bible. How about you? We're just still learning from the Bible. You know what? Read the Bible as if you've never read it before every time. Okay? It's brand new. Brand new. Acts 1:8. Oh, Pastor, I could read Acts 1:8. Frontwards and backwards, I could probably quote it in another language. I don't know about that. All right? Acts 1:8. Don't be like that when you hear, let's turn to passages that you've read 150 times. And you're like, no. This is alive. Every time we can learn something from it. And so when I was reading this recently, I thought, okay, what were they praying for? Now, okay, they were praying. You know, the Lord had, okay, we'll talk about that. And we're going to move ahead. Number one, I believe they were praying for the church family. The church family. You say, what do you mean? How many disciples were there to begin with? 12, right? Just like there were 12 men that went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. 10 were bad and 2 were good, right? Yeah, what do you think they saw in Canaan? No, 12. 12 disciples. Guess what? How many disciples are there now? 11. They're going to bring in Matthias for the 12. And so the reason why I wrote that down, church family, what would they pray for about the church family? Well, number one, I believe they would pray that they would stay unified. But I also believe they would be praying for the church family for protection. Here is one of 12. One of 12. Not one of 1,200. One of 12 that was in the midst of the disciples that was not genuine. He killed himself. I don't believe Judas is in heaven today. He was one of the disciples. What does it tell me? It tells me, I believe, possibly, I have no, I'm just saying, this is what God showed me. They were praying for the church family. What should we be praying for in 2020? We should be praying for our church family. Why? Because the devil is a roaring lion, going about seeking whom he may destroy. He's devouring. You know what we need to be doing? We need to be praying for God's protection. Boy, that church directory has sure come in handy. And we need to get everybody in that directory next year. Please, get in the directory, even if you just put your name in there. Why? So people can have a resource in their home, not just for phone numbers. If you don't want any information, just have your name in there. Why? So we can pray for you. And yes, we have the prayer page, and yes, we have this and that. But oh, in these days, but not just these days, I firmly believe that we need to be men and women and teenagers and young people and whoever we are today praying for the family of God. Because I'll tell you, the devil is preying on the family of God. P-R-E-Y-I-N-G, preying on. He's trying to pick you off and bring destruction and pick me off and bring destruction. And we can pray a hedge around the church family. We can pray a hedge around one another. Please, let's pray for one another in these days. Find somebody this week that you don't have to call me. Call, you can if you want, but call somebody this week and pray with them. You don't pray with them over the phone. Let's be men and women of prayer. I believe they were praying for unity, praying for protection. Number next, I believe they were praying for the coming of the Holy Spirit. That's what they're waiting for, right? I believe they're praying for that. So when they're praying for the coming of the Holy Spirit, what are they praying for? They're praying for power. They're praying for power. Oh, we need that to live the Christian life. We've emphasized that already. But are we praying for it? Number three, what else could they be praying for? These are just things the Lord laid on my heart. The church family, the coming of the Holy Spirit. Number three, to carry on what Jesus had left for them to do. Hey, these all apply to us today. We should be praying for our church family. Not a day goes by that we should not be praying for one another. Not a day. Multiple times in a day. Not a day goes by that we should not be praying for the coming of the Holy Spirit in full power, in filling us. We already have the Holy Spirit. He's already come. A little bit different than them praying, but we're still praying for the power of God. We want to be filled with the Spirit of God. Number three, carry on what Christ has left for us to do. We should be praying for that. We should be praying for us to fulfill the Great Commission. We fulfill the Great Commission in Jerusalem, Burnaby, in Judea, British Columbia, in Samaria, Canada maybe, and the uttermost part of the earth, the entire globe of missionaries that we support, we should be praying that God would help us to carry on what Jesus left for us to do. I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus at the time of Acts 1 is the same Lord Jesus of today. What do you mean by that? This group of men were ordinary men. God took a group of ordinary men and they did extraordinary things. They turned the world upside down. They were all martyred for God. Boy, that convicts me. I'd like to think I would be willing to be martyred for the Lord. That's tough to even say right now, to even think about it. These were not what we would look at as being giant Christians, whatever that is. These were ordinary men. But they were empowered by the Lord. And they did extraordinary things for God's glory. It wasn't time for them to think about 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry. It was time for them in 10 days to move forward. What's the motivation to move forward? What's the motivation to make the 20th year of Anchor Baptist Church the greatest year? What's the motivation? A love for God. We're supposed to love Him supremely and our neighbor as ourselves. The purpose of these disciples going forward was to take the gospel message. They saw the gospel message. They saw Jesus be crucified. They saw the scars. They saw His side. They heard His teaching. They're about to see the Spirit of God come down. Souls are about to be saved and so forth and so on. What about you today? We're having this service today to please the Lord. I want you to know that. We're having this live stream service in this 2020 year. When we started the year, we had no live stream service at all. And we had no plans of starting one. But God had a plan. I want you to think of something. You might be listening right now on this live stream, and you would not have come to Anchor Baptist Church today in person. And I'm not saying that to criticize you. I'm just saying it. Maybe that's you. Maybe it's because you don't live anywhere near here and there's no way you could make it. Or maybe it's because a friend invited you to listen to a live stream today and so you did. Maybe you got a gospel track in the mail and so you logged into the internet website, Anchored in Jesus. Maybe you saw that Facebook ad and you joined us today. Maybe you're a part of Anchor Baptist Church. I'm so glad all of you are here. The point is this. Today you've heard a message from the Word of God. That at the beginning of 2020, we would have thought no way of being able, we would have had no way of projecting this message and no plan to project this message in this particular fashion. And yet God knew that on the 7th day of June, 2020, celebrating the 19th anniversary of this church, His church, you would be listening right now to the Word of God. And God's Spirit would be bringing you under conviction that you're not saved. That was the message of the disciples, Christ crucified, buried and risen and coming again. You know, today ought to be the day of your salvation if you've never been saved. That's why we're moving forward at Anchor Baptist Church, is so lost souls can hear the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, so the next generation can be trained and understand that God loves them and God has a perfect will for their life. It's all the more reason to continue to move forward. The disciples were at a life-changing moment. They were waiting. We're waiting patiently. They were waiting unified. They were waiting